You don't want me to take that away as my last memory of a day spent with you? Good evening. That I shall take with me. Again, it's a joy, a privilege, and a pleasure to be present with you, to fellowship with you, and we had a lovely time today. Now, I don't know what your day was like, but we started out with the worship meeting. That was simply wonderful. And then we spent the remainder of the day with a dear brother and sister. A foretaste of heaven. There is nothing like Christian fellowship. And then, sister, again, I want to commend you on your singing. It has been pointed out that the most beautiful instrument in the whole world is the human voice, correctly used. God bless you. But you know what I'm looking forward to? The Lord Jesus Christ tells us that when we get to heaven, He is going to sing and He's going to lead the singing. I wonder what His voice will be like. I wonder if He sings tenor, or baritone, or bass. Or He might be like some of the Russian artists. He can range from bass to high soprano. That's something to look forward to. What is His voice going to be like? Oh, heaven is a wonderful place. And if you aren't going there and sure that you're going there, make sure tonight. There's no place like it. Now turn with me, please, for our text. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14. Now, this morning, we did not turn to several scriptures. We just spoke from one, and I recited a few here and there. But this evening is primarily a believers' meeting, and there is nothing. You talk about music. Next to the human voice, the turning of the pages of the Bible, what a delightful sound. So we will be doing that today. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We are living in a day of speed. We don't have much time to wait. I see that you have down here, as we have further north, fast food restaurants. I remember when I was a boy, my mother had a set of pots, about six or seven, maybe more. And all the food was cooked slowly, slowly, slowly. And then came the pressure cooker. You could cook a little faster. But today, the ladies have one of these items. You just press a few buttons, dinner is ready, and less than 5 minutes. We can't wait. But beloved, we're going to have to learn to wait if we want the blessing of the Lord. Even with the Persian Gulf situation, we must wait on the Lord. Don't force our way and our opinion. Wait on the Lord. Up our way, they will deliver pizza, well cooked and prepared, in 20 minutes. Fast food. In the film industry, years ago, if you took a package of film, a roll of film, to have it developed, you waited 1 week. Today, if you put it in at 12, you can get it at 1. Can't wait. You've got to move. They tell me this is the 20th century going on into the 21st, and we don't have time to wait. Beloved, find time. Take time if we want the blessing of the Lord. And our brother Lloyd and I were looking at some advertisements on the TV. If you have a stomach ache and you want relief right away, take Tums. Then the other one said, take Mylanta. And they say, if you have a headache and you want to get rid of it fast, take Excedrin. Everything is fast, fast, fast today. And as for arthritis, that terrible fellow, if you want immediate relief, get this ointment and rub it on, and it works right down to the joint. The message tonight is wait on the Lord. Exodus chapter 14. We're in a world, and I'm sure that you, as many others, faced with various problems, family problems, problems with your children, problems with your relatives, problems on the job, problems at school, financial problems, all kinds of problems. Beloved, wait. Don't rush into anything. Exodus chapter 14, please. Now, you know we're going to start at verse 13, just one verse, but you know the background. Here are the children of Israel now escaping from Egypt. The Red Sea in front of them. It is estimated that there was in the company there 1.5 million people. Red Sea in front of them. Mountains on either side and Pharaoh behind them. And the Lord says, just stand still. Verse 13. Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Oh, child of God, are you having problems? Are there difficulties? And you're looking for a way out? Stand still. If you seek your own way out and work your own way out, you're going to cause more trouble. We're going to see that from the Word of God. Stand still. Wait on the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verses 1 through 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Do you feel the forces of evil coming in as a battle upon you? Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. Behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is then Gendi. And Jehoshaphat was afraid and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. Are you afraid? Things coming in upon you like an earthquake, like thunder, on every side problems. Do what Jehoshaphat did. He set himself to seek the Lord. Don't try to work your own way out of difficulties. You'll make it worse. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite. Oh, by the way, some of you may wonder, why did the Lord put all these names? And why in Genesis does he say, so-and-so lived and begat so-and-so, and he died, and he begat, and he begat? Call all these names. The names are important. We won't go into these names tonight. But there are two reasons. At least two reasons why these names should be read. Suppose your name were written there. Wouldn't you want it read? Why, sure. Second reason, reading these names will teach you patience. It'll teach you to wait on the Lord. Verse 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. The battle is not yours, but God's. Are you a child of God? Are there problems? The battle is his, it's not yours. You say, well, why does he allow all of these difficulties in my life? Well, now tell me, beloved, How could you say that God gives victory if he never gave you a victory? So we have to have these problems that demonstrate the power of God in our lives. Therefore, when we have these problems, let's not get upset. Let's not get offended, but let us wait on the Lord. Verse 16, tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, beloved, we move too much. Always doing something to solve our problems. Learn to stand still and wait on the Lord. Now we want to look at a man who didn't stand still. A lovely man. A great man of God. And you will find in all of these biographies in the Bible, with one exception, great as many of these men and women were, they all made at least one mistake. The only exception was our Lord. Now let's look at this dear man of God who failed to wait. Genesis chapter 12. Wait on the Lord. Even in these modern times, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord in spite of all the speed that we see around. Let us learn to wait on the Lord. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord had said, and for you grammarians, the Bible's wonderful. Notice, please, it doesn't say the Lord said, the Lord had said. Now, I'm not going to go into detail, but when you get home, look it up. That is what we used to call the pluperfect tense. Now, don't worry about that. But the word had is important. The Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Chapter 15, please. That's God's promise to Abraham, or Abram at that. Chapter 15, verse 2. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? The steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now notice, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Now that's God's promise to him. That's God's promise. Let's read verse 16. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I won't go into detail on this, but he had a long time to wait. Now, chapter 16. Lord said, now you wait, I'm going to give you a son from your own bowels. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now, Sarah, and you see, dear sisters, you have an important part to play. A very important part to play in the workings of the family. Abram's wife bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain child by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah to bad advice. That's the same thing that Adam did back in the Garden of Eden. Sisters, please, be very careful how you advise your husbands. Don't urge them into wrongdoing. On the other hand, there is a lady in the Bible, a Shunammite, the only one described in the King James Version as a great woman. And she saw the man of God pass by from time to time. And you know what she did? She said to her husband, I noticed this man of God passing by. Let us build a little extension on our house so that as he passes, he may come in and rest. And there is one word that she used. Remember, she was a great woman. You know what she said to her husband? Please. That's much of the trouble in marriage today. You know, when you were first married and you used to hold hands and walk along, you look as if you didn't do that. Something was wrong. So I used to hold hands. You know, I'd walk along and hours would pass. Didn't even know the time had passed. That's the way it should be. The mutual courtesy. She said, please, I see one. I remember a couple came to me and they had some misunderstanding. And they started to complain one about the other. And when she spoke, she would say he and him. And when he spoke, he would say her and she. Neither one called the other by name. Now, when they were first married, I'm sure they had some pet names for each other. What happened to the pet names? Don't lose them, beloved. Keep those pet names and counsel wisely with your husband. And as they kept on her, she, I said, before you know it, you're going to call each other it. A marring of cordial relationships. Be careful how you counsel your husband. You have an important role to play. Very important. And that is one of the problems today in the marital world. One of the reasons people don't get along, you know it as well as I, they don't talk to each other, and when they do talk, they don't talk kindly. But let's go on. Verse 2, we read, Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain child by her. And Abram had hearken to her voice. Verse 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael. 86 years old when he sired Ishmael. Now the Lord had told him the child is coming from your own bowels. Now you look that up when you go home. That meant that he was going to have a child by his wife. Well, they waited some 10 years, you know, and then I suppose Sarah said, now, you know, the Lord promised us a child, and he always keeps his promise. Maybe he wants us to help him out a little bit. So you take Hagar, have a child by her, and that will be God's answer to the situation. Wait on the Lord. But he's already 86. And she was 10 years younger. It doesn't happen that way. It's not scientific. You don't worry about science. You worry about what God says. But we read on. Chapter 17. Verse 15. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her. She shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Verse 24. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskins. Old man. Can God produce a child from him, a man that's almost 100 years old and his wife is 90 years old? Chapter 18, please. Verse 9. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, certainly I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, 90 and 100. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am next old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, also being old, too old people, can I have a child? That's what Sarah is saying. The Lord said unto Abraham, verse 13, wherefore did Sarah laugh and say, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question. And when you have the problems of life staring you in the face, beloved, problems with your children, problems at home, problems at school, problems on the job, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Just don't do anything. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now we go on. Chapter 18. You read that, I'm sorry. Chapter 21. Verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Verse 12, the latter part, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The Lord finally fulfilled his word, didn't he, when they waited. But they tried to help the Lord out, and Ishmael was born. I've turned to the Middle East. And much of the turmoil there is the result of jealousy between the Ishmaelites and the Israelis. One man and woman, one act of disobedience, one failure to wait on the Lord, and the results we see today. Let's be very careful that we wait on the Lord. Don't be in a hurry to do what we think should be done. And please let us not be in a hurry to help God out. He doesn't need our help. Just wait. Verse 7. Now you're not only to wait on the Lord. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Not nervously. I pray to the Lord and nothing is happening. Wait patiently for the Lord. And this is also very necessary today. To wait patiently. Don't grumble and groan and complain. I find that too many of the Lord's people are always complaining. Wait patiently. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph and Ephrathah. My. Why all those names? If you don't know why these names were given, you miss the whole thought. Because if you trace these names through, you will find that Hannah's husband was a Levite. Any son she had by him would be a Levite and would be able to go into the temple and help to straighten things up. That's why, as we shall see, she asked for her son. And she gave him to the Lord so that he might be in the house of the Lord to straighten things up. That's what all those names tell us about. Now, to find out the meanings of those names, you have to go through the scriptures. Everything isn't in one place in God's book. And if you turn those leaves and get alone with the Lord, I like to do it after midnight. No telephone. Everybody's asleep. And you just turn those pages. The Lord will tell you things. I just tell you the significance of those names so that you might know. Any child that she had would be a Levite. Now, Come with me to verse 9. Hannah arose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now, this is the condition that existed in the temple, or rather the tabernacle at that time. Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple, or better, tabernacle. Now, if you will go back to the book of Exodus and read the description of the tabernacle, there were no seats. Now, where did he get his seat from? Who told him the measurements of the seat and the materials of the seat? God didn't tell him. This shows how things had deteriorated. Chapter 2, verse 12. The sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. The priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. He struck it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Verse 16, and if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, thou shalt give it to me now, if not, I will take it by force. Verse 27, there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord plainly, did I not plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer unto my altar the burnt incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I not give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children? Wherefore do ye kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded? You honor your sons above me. Now things were pretty bad. And Hannah, now let's notice her prayer. Remember what we said, any son that she had would be a Levite, and therefore would have the privilege of working in the tabernacle. Now, verse 10. Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. We didn't read the previous verses that told how her, how would you describe her? Her husband's other wife perplexed her and bothered her no end. She waited silently. You don't hear a word of complaint. Verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Why a man child? As I have said, he would be a Levite and therefore privileged to go into the temple and straighten things out. Now, isn't that what happened? That's why she wanted a man child. But you know, when you honor God, and you bear with patience and with long suffering the adverse things around you, and a wonderful thing happened. Now look at chapter 2, verse 21. The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. She waited patiently. Oh, beloved, I know the problems are hard. They are serious. Not always easy. You know what your problems are. Now just wait on the Lord. It's amazing what he will do. But please don't do as Sarah did and interfere. You will spoil the picture. And the results may be very long term. Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham. Oh, it's estimated some 2,000 to 3,000 B.C., and here we are today, and the results of that wrong act we are seeing in the Middle East. Be very careful to bear silently and wait upon the Lord, praying. And then she got her reward. Oh, it's almost 8 o'clock. What do they say? Time flies when you're enjoying yourself. I hope you're enjoying it. Because I am. Now, if we look there for it one more. Psalm 62. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently. Psalm 62. Verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth, and those of you that have some of the more modern versions, it will read, my soul waits in silence, waiting in silence on the Lord. Verse 5. My soul wait thou only in silence on God. Don't complain. Don't tell God how bad it is. He knows how bad it is. And he allowed it to be that way. Wait in silence. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Wait in silence. Now, we know the story of Joseph and his brothers, how they envied him, they were jealous of him, how they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and in turn he ended up in Potiphar's house, and there he was falsely accused, and now we find him in prison. Do you notice that in all of this he never complained? He never complained. We must learn not to complain, regardless of the circumstances, just wait silently on the Lord. Chapter 40, verse 15. Indeed, I was stolen away, or as we would say today, kidnapped, out of the land of the Hebrews. Here also I have done nothing that they should put me in prison. He was there, having done nothing. Chapter 45. Now read through when you get home. Read through all the story of Joseph. Never once did he complain. And there is a reason why he didn't complain. Chapter 45. Verses 4 through 8. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. God sent me before you to preserve your life. He was conscious that he was in the will of God in spite of the unfavorable circumstances. Sold, lied against, put in prison, and he's all the time saying, God allowed this. God knows what he's doing, and he never complains. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives. Verse 8. So that it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Are you in difficulty? God allowed it. Now, you have to be careful. There are two reasons why believers get into difficulty. You remember old man Joseph? Pardon me, Jacob. And you get that in 1 Peter. He was in difficulty because he was getting himself in difficulty. That's something else. But Joseph was in difficulty because God allowed it. Now, beloved, if you're having problems, stop and ask, did I put myself here or has God allowed this? And if you put yourself there, just go back to God and tell him all about it. But if this is a difficulty that God has allowed in your life, just stay still. Don't make any noise. Don't complain. Chapter 58. Verse 20. Joseph is still speaking to his brothers, and he says, as for you, you thought evil against me. You wanted to get rid of me. But God meant it unto good. Difficult circumstances, but he waited on the Lord, he waited silently, and he waited patiently. One more example of one who waited on the Lord. Well, you know Job. We're not going to talk about him, Brother Job. You know all about him. He waited on the Lord. Another example, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Waiting on the Lord. Patiently. And silently. First Samuel chapter 16. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him. That's David. In the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. He anointed him to be king over Israel, over 12 tribes. Now read all the chapters that follow. And Saul pursued him as a cat would pursue a mouse. Made more than one effort to kill David. And David never complained. David never said a word. 2 Samuel, please. Chapter 2. He is anointed to be king over all 12 tribes, pursued and hunted. 2 Kings chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. It came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? The Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go? And he said unto Hebron. So David went up hither, and his two wives, also Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. His men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Now, the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that had buried Saul. Now, the Lord anointed David. Years pass, and he's anointed king over one tribe. What about the other 11? Did he complain? He said, Lord, you said that I would be king over all 12, and now I'm only king over one. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Verse 11 of the same chapter, confirming the point you just made. The time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Lord, I've been king over Judah for 7 years. When am I going to get the other 11? He didn't say that. Now, chapter 5. Waiting silently on the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron. All the tribes came now. And spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and flesh. And in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people. Thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So, all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Finally, at long last, but David waited patiently and silently. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. He reigned over Judah in Hebron 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. The Lord doesn't always answer things the way we want. He has his own way, and we have to learn to wait. There's a little quote here, and some of us have been talking about some of the giant trees over in the California area, the sequoia trees, and other large old trees. When God wants to make a giant oak, he takes many years. When he wants to make a squash, a few months. Learn to wait. to wait. When we wait, God is working. If you want him to work faster, you may get a squash. If you want to wait his time, you get a beautiful oak tree. The story is told of a brother who was driving and he had car trouble. Oh, he got so upset about this car breaking down just when he wanted it to keep going. Saw an auto repair shop and pulled over. And he saw a sign that opened his eyes. Repairs done while you wait. While you wait, repairs are done. That's why God keeps you waiting. A long time. Now, let's close with just one verse, Isaiah 40. You know this well. Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Oh, beloved, let us learn even in these difficult days, these fast days, let us learn to wait on the Lord, to wait patiently on the Lord, and above all, to wait silently on the Lord. May the Lord bless us to this end, for Christ's sake. Shall we pray? Holy Father, again it has been our privilege, with our Lord in the midst, to look into thy precious word, that we may be strengthened and encouraged in these difficult times. As thy word has told us in the last days, difficult, perilous times will come, and we are in the midst of those. It is our prayer that we will wait on the Lord, that we will not be hasty in doing anything or saying anything. Thou knowest the cares and the problems of everyone present. There may be those who have not taken the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray that they will bow to him and learn what it is to wait on him. They will renew their strength. Bless those of thy people with varying and various problems. May they too learn to wait on the Lord. Bless us now as we dismiss. To thee we give glory, praise, and honor, asking all through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
In closing, turn with me to 624. I was just thinking a thought, how many times have we ever bought something or looked at something on a commercial and it looked real nice to us? It looked like something we wanted. It looked spectacular. And then when we got it finally, it wasn't up to our expectation. Well, I think about what our brother has said this evening. We're waiting for the Lord to come, but we're going to be getting something that we've all been waiting for, and that is heaven. And it's not going to be lower than our expectations. It's going to be higher than our expectations because it's going to have mansions for us. There'll be gates of gold, and we'll be with our Lord for day in and day out for eternity. So think of this song here, 624, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let's sing verses 3 and 4 of 624.